أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. My respected scholars, speakers, elders, brothers and sisters in Islam and Iman, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we're blessed to gather here for a very important and very beautiful concept, that of uniting under the banner of Sayyidah Zainab salam alayhi alayha. For all of those who have been involved with putting together this program, I pray that Allah increases your tawfiqat and his blessings upon you. I'd like to thank all of you, and also all those who attended, took time away from their busy schedules out of the love and dedication towards the cause and the message of Hazrat Zainab salam alayhi alayha. The topic that I've chosen to speak about for today is actually the concept of beauty from the perspective of Sayyidah Zainab salamu alayhi alayha. When speaking about such a great personality, first of all, someone like myself is not capable of being able to understand and fathom what is and who is Zainab. But what I can do is to take one aspect and one teaching that she has to offer us, and to give some perspective to my level of what it is that I can gain from it, in the hope that you can also gain from that as well. What is that one aspect that I'd like to focus on for the purpose of this speech? It is an incident that you're all familiar with. After the tragedy of Karbala, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad was somebody who was very proud of himself. He felt that he had succeeded. He orders Umar ibn Sa'd to bring to him the captives, those who had been posed as rebels, those who had been posed as insurgents, and for them to be accompanied by the heads atop the spears. He was so proud of himself and he was so confident that he gave a general permission for anybody who wants to enter into the court of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad to witness what was going to take place. Normally, if you want to go into the court, you have to seek permission. But at this time, he said, no, anybody can come and see what's going to happen. The court is packed. They bring in the captives. And he sees among them a lady. She captures his eyes. Perhaps it's because of the leadership position that she was taking among the captives. And he asks about her name, and they tell her that this is Zainab, the daughter of Ali and the daughter of Fatima. At this point, he addresses her. He wants to use Islam against her. He wants to prove to the court that what he did was right and what she did and what she stands for is wrong. He says, all praise is due to Allah, who has exposed you and who has shown this innovation of yours to be something which is false. She responds by saying that Allah only exposes the one who is a fasiq, and He only exposes as a liar the one who is a fajr, one who is an open sinner. And she says, that is somebody other than us. That is not what Allah has done to us. At this point, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad asks her the question that you're all familiar with. How do you see what it is that Allah has done with you? And she responds, with your brother and with her family, and she responds saying the famous line, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. The only thing I saw was beauty. This is one statement, three words, but it resounds from that time until now. And for us, it contains a very great lesson. What I'd like to do, inshallah, is to see if we can take two different lessons from this one line of Sayyidah Zainab. Because after all, the words of the Ahlul Bayt shouldn't just be looked at one level. They have multi levels to them, multiple levels of understanding and dimensions. Some of them are even beyond our comprehension. Let's look at two different levels. One of them is to say that Sayyidah Zainab alayha salam, when she looks at what happened, she's recognizing that there were times which were bitter. There was difficult events that took place. There was tragedy, there was bloodshed, there was loss of life. It was horrible from one perspective. But when you change your perspective on an event, then the entire event can be looked at in a completely different way. And that which might be horrible from one perspective, it can be seen as beautiful from another perspective. What is that perspective? It is the perspective of Tawheed. Sayyidah Zainab salamullahi alayha is teaching us a lesson in Tawheed. Normally we think of Tawheed as being the oneness of God. Allah is one, and He is not multiple. But Tawheed has a number of dimensions to it. One of them is called Tawheed in the Af'al. Tawheed in actions. What does this mean? It means that when something transpires in this world, it's not the case that it is independent of Allah, but rather Allah is with that event that takes place. Now, it's a simple concept to talk about, but a little bit difficult to grasp and understand. Because normally we brought up thinking about Allah as being separate from His creation. You might have seen, I remember seeing when I was a child, a map of the world. I was interested in geography. And they had a map of all the different countries and, you know, different cities and all that. And then they had a picture, na'udhu billah, of God. And God was there kind of kicking back on His throne, looking back and looking at the world that He created. Now, we of course don't accept that. We don't accept it because Allah cannot be captured in a picture, in a place. But even beyond that, we don't accept that fundamental notion that Allah is separate from His creation. No, He's with His creation. The example that's given is that of the sun and the sun ray. Is it the case that the ray of a sun, a ray of light, assume that, I know that here in London you have an issue with sunlight streaming in from the windows, but let's say that sunlight was streaming in from the windows. Ask yourself this, what is the difference between that ray of sun, the ray of light, and the sun itself? In one way, it's different because it is here and the sun is there. But if you look at the essence of that ray of light, it is no different in essence than the sun itself. The source of that ray of light is the sun. And for that ray to continue being a ray for us, it has to be continually sourced by the sun as well. Meaning that moment by moment, that ray of light is dependent on the sun, even though it is part of the sun. Now take that example and apply it to us and Allah. We are different than Allah. We are other than Allah. We are the makhluq and He is the khaliq. But moment by moment, we are being sustained by Allah. Our need of Him is imminent and He is with us, He surrounds. Allah is muhit, He surrounds everything that exists and every event that takes place as well. When Sayyidah Zainab, who is a muwahida at the highest of levels, she is the one who is qualified to speak about Allah, not Ubayd Allah ibn Ziyad. She tells him that no, I see things, everything that took place is beautiful because she's seeing it with her perspective of Tawheed. For her, all the bitter moments are something which can be tolerated. Why? Because she knows that everything that takes place in this world does so on the basis of hikmah, divine wisdom. One of the wisdoms of Allah is that He's created human being with ikhtiyar, with the ability to choose between right and wrong. Why do we have ikhtiyar? This is a very important principles of our creed. Why is it that we have ikhtiyar, the ability to choose between right and wrong? It's necessary so that we can attain perfection. Because if it were for our ability to choose between right and wrong, there would be no value in the choices that we would make, and there would be no reason for us to be given perfection by Allah. So she sees that
system that Allah has created, which allows people to even go to that extent that they will kill the innocent, that's something which stems from divine wisdom. She sees a larger perspective, and this is what makes it tolerable to her. Let me give you an example. Suppose that you go to, some issue happens, inshallah, Allah will protect you and keep you all safe. But let's say an incident, some issue takes place, a medical issue. You go to the doctor and he says that, oh, you know what, we can take care of this, but you're going to have to go into the operating room and we're going to take the knife on you and we're going to have to cut you up to fix what the issue is going to happen. You go into the operating room, the surgeon is there with his team of surgeons, they're sharpening the knives. They're about to cut you open. Now what is it that you're feeling? On one hand, what's going to take place is horrible. It's terrible. You're going to be unconscious, you're going to be completely at the mercy of these fallible human beings. But because you know that there's a greater goal, which is your health, you're willing to submit. This is an example, it's not a complete example, but it helps us understand the position of someone like Sayyidah Zainab when it comes to bearing the difficulties, when she sees everything in the hands of Allah. There's a great lesson that we can derive from this. What is it? Brothers and sisters, when we go through the challenges that we do in our lives, we're going to face challenges. We're going to face difficulties. I'm blessed with the presence of a number of our younger brothers and sisters, and I welcome them. You might think that this issue of challenges is something which is for adults, for old people, but I should tell you that it is impossible for us to be human beings and not go through difficulties and not have challenges. It's part of the plan that Allah has for us. And it's not the case that if we're good, then we're not going to face challenges. No. When we go through those challenges, what we learn from Sayyidah Zainab is a perspective on how to deal with them. That we shouldn't think that the slightest thing that comes up, now we have to be negative. Now we have to lose hope. No. We have to see things in a positive light, knowing that Allah is with us. And that He ultimately is responsible for the events that transpire in this world. And that nothing that He does is lacking His divine wisdom and His divine mercy. There was a brother who once came to me. He said that, I'm going bankrupt. The world is falling apart on me. My relationship with my wife is in dire straits as well too. My children don't respect me anymore. What is it that I can do? I sat down with him, and based on those pieces of advice that I gathered from my respective teachers, who themselves take these from the Ahlul Bayt and the Quran, I gave him some suggestions. Two, three years later, he comes back to me and says, you know that situation that I spoke to you about? Of all those things that you mentioned, there was one thing that really stuck with me. What is it? He said that, you told me that, remember that Allah is with you. Something I felt was very simple and obvious, but he said that that one line, that Allah is with you, was something that allowed me to bear these difficulties, and now, alhamdulillah, things are going in the right direction. Allah said in the Quran, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبُنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. This one ayah of Quran, it's so beautiful. For those who are facing difficulties, and we all are, we have pressure, we have situations. لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Nothing will afflict us except that Allah has written it first, meaning that it is not absent from the power and the system of God. Please say salawat to Muhammad. This is one interpretation, brothers and sisters. It helps us to see, it helps us, inshallah, to take this inspiration of how to deal with events that take place in our lives. There's another interpretation. When Sayyidah Zainab says, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا, we have to understand what is the perspective of beauty that Sayyidah Zainab has. Meaning that what is it that she sees as being beautiful? Normally, when we think about beauty from a typical material Western perspective, just ask yourself the question, what is it that's beautiful? And we think, okay, something that's beautiful is something, well, it looks good. It sounds good, it looks good. It's something which has a harmony on a physical and a material level. If you see a beautiful flower, for example, What is it that distinguishes a beautiful flower from a flower that's just okay? Right? It's that flower which has a particular proportion, a very type of a nice bright color to it. That's what it distinguishes beauty from something which is not. But when you go to the perspective of Islam on beauty, it's something which is deeper. Let me give you an example. Somebody who gives up their life for the sake of what they believe in. Now this is not something which is a physical thing in and of itself. It's an idea, it's a concept. We call it martyrdom, shahada. Is that not something which is beauty? Is that something which is beautiful? They say that there was a commander in the defense that took place after the revolution in Iran. There's a commander who had a group of young men who were his fellow soldiers. And this commander went on to become one of the greatest shuhada, the greatest martyrs in that whole event. But they say that he was a very special person. One of the things they saw him doing one of the nights is that every one of his soldiers had gone to sleep. They were exhausted. He himself was probably exhausted as well too. But he was awake, keeping guard over them. And they saw that he would go from one to one of these young men, and he would go and kiss their feet. And he would make a dua and say, "O Allah, accept these as being soldiers of the Imam of our time." Now, is this not something which is an act of beauty? It is. Why? Because it's something which involves a purpose and moving towards that purpose. Somebody who, on a simpler example, somebody who gives up their beauty sleep. Now, sleep can be beautiful. You all know about that type of sleep. You know that type I'm talking about, that type, right? It can be something which is very beautiful. But somebody who sacrifices that for the sake of Allah, to wake up and to go into sajda and say, "Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyani ba'da ma amatani wa ilayhi an-nushur." All praise belongs to Allah who has given me life after He gave me death, and to Him is the resurrection. All praise is due to Allah who has given me that tawfiq to serve Him one more time. Is that not an act of beauty? It is, because it involves a goal. So from the perspective of Islam, from the perspective of Sayyidah Zainab, beauty isn't just something which on a material level happens to have a certain form or shape. It's something which involves having a goal in mind as well. Now let's take that example and look at the dress of a woman. Hijab. The discussion on hijab is something which cannot be absent from a discussion on Sayyidah Zainab sallallahu alayhi. But we can approach it in a number of different angles. I want to just go to the root, the fundamental philosophy. Hijab is something, brothers and sisters, which signifies ultimate beauty. Why is it beautiful? Somebody might say that, you know, if somebody feels that she is going to be beautiful by wearing the hijab, then that's her choice. But for me, my notion of beauty is something which is different. I want to be beautiful in my own way. I'm not going to call out, make a judgment on those who want to wear hijab. But my understanding of beauty is something else, and that's what I want to uphold. That's why I'm going to dress. Don't tell me how to dress. I want to be beautiful. And being beautiful is something which is innate to me, and you cannot stop me from doing those things which are innate to my nature. What do we say to that? What we say is that, first of all, if it's the case that the purpose, if it's the case that you decide what's right and what's wrong is on your own notions, you yourself are the judge of everything that's right and wrong, then we have to re-examine and say that, why is it that you are giving yourself so much prominence? Isn't there a higher standard out there for measuring what's right and what's wrong? Isn't there a higher standard out there which is a better yardstick for what is beauty and what's not beauty? It goes back to the goal in life, which is Allah. Our goal here is nothing but Allah. What do we read in Dua Joshin Al-Kabir? We remind ourselves of what is it that, after all, is our purpose. We say, Ya Habiba man la Habiba lahu, Ya Tabiba man la Tabiba lahu. The only one that we actually can turn to, the one to whom we owe everything, is Allah. He is the one who is the beloved for one who has no one who loves him except for him. So if Allah is our goal, then anything which is contrary to my goal is not going to be beautiful. Yes, it is the case that a woman needs to be beautiful to show her beauty. And if she does so for her husband, she does so for her family, then that is something which is beautiful. But for her to do so in the presence of a non-mahram, because it's contrary to the goal which Allah has set for us, that's something which is not beautiful. When Sayyidah Zainab looks back and she sees all these sacrifices, yes, there were difficulties, yes, there were bitter moments, but all of them, because they were in the line of serving Allah and accomplishing that ultimate goal of getting to Allah, all she sees is beauty and nothing but beauty. We pray to Allah to give us that inspiration, to realign our goals with the blessings of Sayyidah Zainab, to dedicate every moment of our lives to reach that goal of Allah, and to change our perspectives on things and align them according to the will of Allah and the will of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam.